The U.S., Israel, pushed regime change in Syria, and now the Syrian Christians are paying the price, exactly as we said back in 2017. The Bishop of Jerusalem meets with the King of Jordan to defend Palestinians, and just in time for Holy Week, a new kerfuffle over Christ is King. Jordan Peterson, buddy, you can't be serious. Plus, if Christians are responsible for the Holocaust, why did so many of them die in the war to stop Adolf Hitler? Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Matt. This is the Remnant Underground. Before we get really into it tonight, I want to encourage you to go over to remnant-tv.com and check out my interview with a tradition-minded Catholic missionary in Ethiopia. Marcy Erickson is her name. Marcy is the executive director of Grace Center in Ethiopia, and I'm really eager to introduce you to a faithful Catholic who takes the corporal and spiritual works of mercy seriously.
I just felt, you know, overwhelmed with having three children, that when more people kept coming to my gate saying, can you please take another child? I thought, you know, I realized I can't take every child, but I know that God has a plan and a purpose for every child. And so that's when God gave me the vision for Grace Center. And, you know, I said a very simple prayer about needing people to help me start. And I had some friends that were living in Ethiopia at the time. And before I even finished telling them this vision that God gave me of this center where these people could receive proper love and care, they said they would move up and help me start. And so God answered that prayer in less than 5 minutes. And we began with about five foster children. And now we serve roughly over 50,000 individuals where we live in Ethiopia.
50,000. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, okay, this is really exciting. So when you say mission, walk me through that a little bit. What does it mean for a lay person, a lay family to operate a mission? What is it? How does the physical and the spiritual kind of... So watch that interview over at remnant-tv.com and maybe even consider supporting her work, which is part of a larger effort here at Remnant TV. We have what's called Operation African Missions over at our site, which we started this past summer, which is doing very well, thanks to you. So really important to keep that corporal work of mercy a reminder going in the work that we do. And this, by the way, is a great way for us, for all of us, to help out, especially since now we're finding out that our tax dollars have been funding genocides, such as the one in Ethiopia, through USAID for years. Marcy tells me that her Grace Center team were really thrilled when USAID, quite frankly, was shut down.
For President Trump, downsizing the federal government is a top priority.
We're cutting numbers that, you know, nobody's ever seen before.
But Peter Gaff says the cuts come with costs, and vulnerable people around the world who received U.S. foreign aid will pay with their lives.
People will die because of this.
Not so, says Marcy Erickson, again, a Catholic missionary on the ground, who tells me that since January now, the genocide in Ethiopia, thanks be to God, has more or less stopped. Hundreds of people have been released from concentration camps because USAID, which was funding weapons in Ethiopia, and that's civil war, not persecution, because the funding was finally cut off. So there's good news there. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, the U.S. meddling in foreign countries. It's been going on for so many years. It's going on right now, obviously. Everyone's looking at Israel. It's happening in Israel. And the Christian genocide is part of it. The Christian genocide in Syria is part of that discussion. And now, this week, this past few weeks, we see that genocide against Christians is in full swing.
At least 1,300 religious minorities, including Christians, have been murdered this past week by the successor to the Bashar al-Assad regime in Syria.
Now, I want to pause a little bit because I think it's very important to remind people that guys like Sean Hannity, guys like the insufferable Senator Lindsey Graham, they were telling us all along that President Assad was gassing his own people. We discussed this last week. And it's so important because then when it all blows up, like it's doing right now in Syria, these vaunted conservatives, they come out and tell us, yeah, man, Assad was, he was actually protecting the Christian. Well, where were you 10 years ago?
I just heard today that Israel's housing and construction minister, Yoav Gallant, is calling for the assassination, Rob, the assassination of Syrian President Bashar Assad following last week's U.S. State Department report that the Syrian regime was using a prison crematorium to hide mass killings outside of Damascus. So here we go again. Gassing his own citizens. Crematoriums, the whole bit. Haven't we heard all this before? He's gassing his own citizens. Really? Does no one want to look into that just a little bit more to find out what's going on? Has anyone even bothered to ask why? Why would this guy be gassing his own citizens willy-nilly? What's to be gained from this? Might there just not be a tiny bit more to the story? We're queuing up the new Saddam Hussein, the new Osama bin Laden, the new bad guy, because it's time to declare another war on another guy, by the way, who out of everyone in the region, regardless of what else he's doing right or wrong or what kind of a man we think he is, at the moment, he's protecting Christians in his country. This is beyond doubt.
Now, it's become a moot point, hasn't it, here in 2025. President Assad is gone. And very few Americans ever had the opportunity to even hear his side of the gassing his own people claim.
There was no order to make any attack. We don't have any chemical weapons. We gave up our arsenals a few years ago. Even if we have them, we wouldn't use them. And we had never used our chemical arsenal in our history.
That doesn't matter, right? That guy's gone. They're still ripping on him, but he's gone, and everybody's admitting, gee, I wonder what we did here. I wonder what happened. Assad's gone. Christians are dying once again, as we see. Everybody's talking about it now, 10 years later or more. But it was that gassing of his own people, fake news, friends, because we're seeing something very similar happening right now, aren't we? Justifying unbelievable atrocities, justifying the annihilation, the genocide of children, women and children, by the tens of thousands, right? Happening again. But that gassing his own people some years ago, that fake news, that was the story that got you involved. That's what people saw on TV, and they freaked out, right? And they exploited it, and they pushed it, and they terrorized us. And what do you know? They got all of us on board the USS Neocon in Syria.
The American cruise missile attack a week ago has changed a great deal for the regime. For the first time, it's been hit by the U.S. America's next moves are not clear, but the rhetoric has switched to regime change in Syria. The American attack, President Assad said, played into the hands of al-Qaeda.
Our impression that the West, mainly the United States, is hand in glove with the terrorists. They fabricated the whole story in order to have a pretext for the attack.
Yeah, and then a few years later, what happened?
Israel drops a massive bomb on Syria. Its impact was reportedly registered on the Richter scale. The explosion was measured as a 3.1 magnitude earthquake on the seismic sensor. The Israeli airstrikes on Sunday took place near Syria's coastal region. Damascus says it was the most intense bombardment in the area since 2012.
And now you have terrorist organizations, terrorist characters backed by the CIA, backed by Israel, you know, taking over the country.
We're in supporters of Assad, the former president, who was overthrown by the forces that are killing them. The forces that are killing them is now the Syrian army. It used to be, in early November, a terrorist group called HTS.
Right.
They have now come into the army, and their leader, al-Sharaa, is now the president.
And the Christians are dying. And nobody listened, by the way, to the people on the ground. This is why we always try to, on this program, try to use people on the ground. In Israel, what do? We try to use Israelis. We try to use Jews, Jewish witnesses, Jewish voices, to try to point people in the right direction, which is away from the TV and to the reality. Because in Syria, there were Catholic bishops all along on the ground trying to warn the world what was going to happen if Assad got taken out.
لانه ما في بديل انت اذا بتختاري بين الاسد والغابه شو هالثقافه اللي جايبين اياها هي ثقافه داعش الغاء الاخر قطع الرؤوس ما شفتوهم على التلفزيون كيف عم يقطعوا رؤوس البشر لانه مختلف هذا هو الدين هذا.
Yeah, but nobody listened. It sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Because the Catholic bishops now in Jerusalem, they're doing exactly the same thing right now, trying to warn us. We're going to get to that in a moment. But before we do, I want to just remind your friends, things are really, really starting to heat up. And I just wanted to remind you to like and subscribe at YouTube however much longer we'll be allowed to stay on YouTube. We never know. But more importantly, to remind your friends, your family, that Remnant TV videos are posted first and foremost at remnant-tv.com. It's very important because we can feel the noose starting to tighten again with respect to big tech. As you all know, if you express concern about what was happening in COVID, you got cut out. Well, now, if you express concern about what is going on in Israel and Gaza, well, you're also going to be cut out because of the charge of anti-Semitism.
The Pegasus revelation is disturbing, but not surprising, given the people currently interested in going after anyone anywhere in the world who is construed as an anti-Semite. And of course, that term is used effectively against anybody that doesn't want to unconditionally support Israel.
And the thing to remember, friends, is it really doesn't matter who you are. Nobody's above this in how much money you make or how important you are, what your position is. They don't care because most of the world now is turning against what's happening in Israel. So they're going on offense, especially in the media, especially here in the States, right? So does this guy, for example, does he seem like an anti-Semite to you?
Dear friends, we are very close to Christmas. From the Cathedral of the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem, I wish to all of you a very joyful celebration. We ask all our Christian brothers and sisters all over the world to join us praying and asking with great supplication for the gift of peace that only God can give to humanity. We have big hope that this will come after 14 months of war and fighting, and that the conflict between the two peoples will be solved through the mediation of people of goodwill. Happy Christmas to everyone, and peace to all of you.
So that was just a couple of months ago over Christmas. Now he's in the news again for taking part in this meeting. This is a March 11th, 2025 meeting. It just happened a few days ago. Well, that's funny. I don't think it was on Fox News. I wonder why not. Mm-mm. But this was a meeting with King Abdullah of Jordan, King Abdullah II of Jordan, where they talked about this and where they, quite frankly, are defending the Palestinians in a way which is now being condemned in the American press as anti-Semitic.
During a meeting, speakers highlighted Jordan's pivotal role under King Abdullah's leadership in supporting the Palestinian people and strengthening their resilience on their land. For his part, Bishop William Shomeli, Leighton Patriarchal Vicar in Jerusalem, thanked the king for his humanitarian efforts and continuous support for the Palestinian people. He stressed that the Catholic Church rejects any notion of designating Palestine as an exclusive homeland for the Jewish people based on biblical claims as promoted by Christian Zionists in the United States.
So if he were, for example, an American, the bishop, His Excellency, think about this. If he were an American student, if he were on a university campus here in America, he would probably be arrested for that meeting with the King of Jordan.
The pro-Palestinian activist is a U.S. permanent resident who organized protests at Columbia University last year. On Saturday, Khalil was arrested by immigration officers at his home in New York.
Mr. Khalil is a lawful permanent resident. He was taken by U.S. government agents in retaliation, essentially, for exercising his First Amendment rights, for speaking up in defense of Palestinians in Gaza and beyond, for being critical of the U.S. government and of the Israeli government.
Now, don't get me wrong, friends. I think it's important to stop here for a moment to be real clear about something. We've been real clear about this all along, and I intend to continue to be real clear, because if you don't watch it, they pounce on you. And they try to exploit everything you say now, and they try to accuse you of hate and anti-Semitism, right? So let me be really clear. Actual anti-Semitism is as evil as actual racism. But you remember during the BLM riots, when they burned our city here in Minneapolis, for example, any opposition to that was called racist. Okay, so now any opposition to this thing, this hotspot in Israel, anti-Semitic, you see? And so we need to be clear. We need to be smart. As those of us who are trying to get the news out, the truth out, as a Catholic, as Catholics, we reject anti-Semitism as a mortal sin. Read my lips. Anti-Semitism is a mortal sin, okay? As I've said down here in the underground, week after week after week, I stand with my Jewish brothers and sisters around the world here and in Israel who will not allow this genocide to continue, not in their name.
I come from a quite religious home. Most of my grandparents on my mother's side family perished in the Holocaust. And the state ideology is called Zionism. And the reality there is a reality that is not enabling of an existence which is going to work, of course, not for Palestinians, but also for Jews. And I feel now that this is coming apart. And therefore you see that some of the most vociferous, determined, angry voices in this period have been the voices of Jewish people saying, not in my name.
Now let me be clear again. I stand with them. Those are Jewish people. Those are former Zionists. I stand with them. They are not anti-Semitic. They are not filled with hate. They're trying to stop a genocide. Do you understand me? And by the way, it's also important because some people jump in. It's so depressing when people, even on our side, they're so counterproductive. So they jump in the middle of a moment like this where you do have a chance to expose the truth of what's going on, and they divert attention. It's like they're working for the other side. Suddenly they're denying the Holocaust as though that's a good strategic position to take right now. That's insanity. I think it's in bad form and bad taste and unchristian even to quibble over, for example, how many Jews died under the Nazis. Why are we doing this? Who are these people? Do they work for the other side? Are they the Fred Phelps, the Pastor Fred Phelps of the conservative movement? Intentionally trying to feed right in, play right into the hands of the enemies of Christianity? Because sometimes it seems like that. So they're out there insisting that 6 million Jews did not die in the Holocaust. What's the point of this? But okay, guys, let me humor you for a moment. Let's say it wasn't 6 million. Let's say it was, 600,000 Jews killed under the Nazis. Would that be enough for you to care about them? Why are you quibbling over this number? I don't know how many Jews died, but I do know this. Way too many died. And just like the Christians who were slaughtered, the 50 million Christians who died during the same period in Europe, they died at the hands of a pagan, Christophobic regime that hated the Catholic Church. Whether it was the Soviets or, in this case, the Nazi regime hated the Catholic Church. That's the truth. Which is why, friends, if you just do a little research, I try to help you out here, those of you who are falling into this other camp, which is I had nothing to do with, these deniers, This is the truth, and this is why the earliest attempts, okay, I'm going to slow down here, okay? The earliest attempts to stop Adolf Hitler were launched by the Catholic Church. They were launched by the Vatican, by the popes, as I've explained again and again down here. They don't mention mit brennender Sorge, which means in English, with deep burning. It's an encyclical letter promulgated by Pius XI, written by Eugenio Pacelli, Pius XII, the future Pius XII, smuggled into Germany on Palm Sunday in 19, let me make sure I get this right, 1937, okay? The Catholic Church was one of the first organizations in the world to start opposing Nazism, National Socialism, Adolf Hitler. It smuggled into Germany for fear of censorship in 1937 and was ordered by the Pope to be read from the pulpits of all German Catholic churches, right? On Palm Sunday of that year. And it attacks National Socialism, it attacks racism, it condemns the pantheistic infusion, neo-paganism of Adolf Hitler, who was fiercely anti-Catholic, right? All of it is there, right? To such an extent, because they produced 300,000 copies of this encyclical letter, secretly smuggled it into Germany, ordered it to be read. Guess what happened? The Gestapo freaks out, raids the Catholic churches, the next day confiscates all the copies of Mitbrenner Sorge that it could find, closes the churches, and according to historian Ian Kershaw, an intensification of the general anti-Catholic struggle began around April in response to the encyclical letter. Remember that what we just saw, this is the 10th of March, 1937, when there's one figure in all the world, in all of Europe, who's standing up against Adolf Hitler before anybody else really even knew he was a threat. Pope Pius XI, 18 months before that buffoonish British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain signed the Munich Agreement, allowing the Nazis to annex Czechoslovakia. And then he comes back to England, and what does he declare? Famously, Neville Chamberlain, peace in our time, he says. This is what he was doing.
Whether the Germans themselves have acquired a healthy respect for our Prime Minister. Hitler, of course, is the idol of his country. He it is who has restored Germany's power and pride. But in millions of German hearts, Mr. Chamberlain represents the man who wants to preserve peace. And not all the propaganda in the world can disguise that fact. When he lands at Cologne, he is received as a friend by the German people. Now Mr. Chamberlain travels the modern motor road through lovely Rhineland, the same little Rhenish town. Herr von Ribbentrop conducts him to the Petersburg Hotel, where he is to stay, and presently he joins Herr Hitler on the other side of the river at the Dresden.
Now, isn't that interesting? There's Neville Chamberlain standing with the Nazis. How many times have you seen those flickery gray, black and white images of Pope Pius XII, who at that point was Cardinal Pacelli, who was the ambassador to the nuncio to Germany? Oh, he's consorting with the Nazis early on because he was on their side. Here's Neville Chamberlain, biggest life in front of God and everybody, hanging out with Hitler, shaking his hands, walking around making deals with him, right? And nobody says anything about Neville Chamberlain, that evil secret pro-Nazi guy. No. But the Catholic Church, it's always open season on the Catholic Church. Right? Neville Chamberlain, peace in our time. That was just before the war was declared. The deadliest war in the history of our country broke, on the history of the world broke out. 70 to 85 million people, God help them, lost their lives after Neville Chamberlain says, peace in our time, the war breaks out. But my point is, 2 years before, the Catholic Church was already at war with Adolf Hitler. It's a matter of history.
In 1937, Pope Pius XI warned the world of coming dangers in his encyclical Mitbrennender Sorge, written in German, in which he criticized Nazism. The Pope had already intuited that another war was coming.
The Pope knew that the Nazi ideology was a neo-pagan ideology.
So what am I getting at? That anybody out there who wants to say, well, Hitler wasn't all that bad. Look at the Soviets. Yeah, the Soviets were evil. Yes, the Nazis were evil. But anybody who wants to make this big point about how Hitler wasn't all that bad, what are you doing? You're playing right into the hands of the anti-Catholic revisionists, okay, who are, again, declared open season on Catholicism and want to blame Catholics, want to blame the Catholic Church, want to blame Christianity for the horrific Holocaust. And again, as I said last week, my own father, Walter Matt, he was in that war. He fought in World War II, right? For almost 4 years against Germany, his father's beloved Germany. Hitler broke my family's heart, this maniac, madman, paper hanger from Vienna, who embarrassed Germany and Germans then and ever since with his antics. My grandfather, again, a German immigrant, and an intellectual who saw Adolf Hitler as an anti-Catholic pagan. That's what we need to insist on. He's not a Christian. He's an anti-Catholic pagan and proud of it. So my library, I got a huge library from all the grandfathers and fathers and so forth in my office, my home. My library is full of books that were handed down to me from my grandfather from that era as well, books that chronicle what exactly happened to the Catholic Church under Adolf Hitler. Here's one. This was my grandfather's book. It's called The Persecution of the Catholic Church in the Third Reich, published in 1940. And it's a compilation of documents of the Nazi campaign to destroy Catholicism. It also includes the official Vatican responses to events and to Nazi propaganda. It also includes Mitbrennender Sorge, the encyclical that we just talked about, promulgated against the National Socialism, right, under Pius XI, co-written by Pius XII, the Pope who they continually blame for being soft on the Holocaust. You see, chock full of anti-Catholic cartoons and images that the Nazis were publishing as part of their propaganda, as part of Joseph Goebbels' campaign, propaganda campaign against the church throughout the 1930s. We'll take a look at just a few, and Walter will put them up on the screen. These were the things that were going on tilling the soil for the campaign, tilling the soil for the arrest and execution of 2,000 Catholic priests at Dachau, for example. Here's one. The police station at Essen during the campaign of violence carried out by the Hitler Youth against the Catholic Youth Association. That in German translates, the police stands by the Hitler Youth. Here we have the Vatican solves the racial question. Again, a Catholic priest being mocked. Faulhaber in Moscow, away with Faulhaber, a friend of the Jews who gives a hand of friendship to Moscow. Faulhaber is the famous bishop who did so much to oppose the Nazis, courageously from his pulpit. Here we have the two reds. This is an important one. Cardinal Pacelli, thanks very much, my friend, and now I'll give you my blessing. This was from August 3rd, 1937, and of course that's an image, a cartoonish image of Cardinal Pacelli, the later Pope Pius XII. Here's a sick one, the confessional. But Father, I don't even know the meaning of the sins you are asking me about. Okay, you see the leering priest in the confessional. Here's a fun one. Prigs and humbugs. If also your singing and revelry does not please the prigs and the humbugs, you see the Nazi youth, you see these horrible decadent-looking Catholic priests the Nazi youth are trampling on. The crossed adder forces its way into all places of rottenness and decay in the homes of all peoples and races, multiplies with extreme rapidity, and becomes the terror of the inhabitants. Nations, unable to defend themselves against its poison, are doomed to ruin. You see, it's a priest as a snake. 1937. Here's another one against Papa Pacelli or Pius XII. The cardinal's journey to France. She is certainly not pretty, but she can cook. An attack on Christmas, neo-pagan Christmas. Nazis celebrate the winter solstice. See how far back it goes? Even to the point of attacking Christmas. Found out at last. Again, Catholic priests consorting with Jews, right? And the Nazi comes in to stop it all. This is 1935. You see, they had to crush the influence of the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church, many Germans, even at this point, Lutheranism was obviously very strong in Germany, but the Catholic Church was very strong, and Hitler had to get rid of it, get rid of its influence if he was going to be successful. This will be the last one, Catholic religious houses. The good God sees it, but Dr. Schott doesn't. And this is from 1937. Again, the corruption of the Catholic Church, not to be listened to in the new racist paradise of Adolf Hitler. Persecution of the Catholic Church in the Third Reich. I highly recommend it if you can find a copy of it somewhere. And yet, friends, and yet, as we showed you last week, Chief Rabbi David Rosen blames Christians for the Holocaust.
The Holocaust was overwhelmingly a Jewish tragedy, but it was substantially a Christian scandal. Why was it a Christian scandal? Because it was perpetrated by overwhelmingly baptized Christians in ostensibly Christian lands.
Now, as I said last week, to even dignify that with a principled response, I just did respond to Rosen with one book. That's how easy it is to refute this Christophobic bigotry, right? And as one commentator of ours over at Remnant TV on YouTube put it, he says, if we follow the rabbi's logic, it is tantamount to saying that because Jesus Christ was killed by the Romans at the instigation of the Jewish religious establishment, then all Jews are complicit in that crime. And this commentator goes on, he says, the rabbi is making an argument based on principles that are very close to the guilty by association and identity type of which he accuses anti-Semite baptized Christians. That's exactly what he's doing. All Christians are responsible. Just like he says, we say, all Jews are responsible for the death of Christ. You see how sick it is? When is it going to stop? When does it stop? And that's the other thing. Millions of those baptized Christians that the rabbi is talking about in that clip, they died in the war against Hitler's regime. They died fighting against the people responsible for the Holocaust. So if baptized Christians who are so evil, then why is it that so many of them were numbered among those who attempted to actually go so far as to assassinate Adolf Hitler? Whatever you think of the morality of that, as St. Thomas Aquinas talks about, you get the leaders that you deserve, and whether or not you can assassinate, I don't know, that's a big question for the priest. But my only point is, the ones who did hate what Hitler was doing to such an extent that they actually went to the point of sacrificing their lives in attempts to assassinate him, most of them were Christians. Talking about guys like Maurice Beauvau, the Catholic Swiss theology student who tried to shoot Adolf Hitler in 1938 and failed. I don't know why Adolf Hitler, he must have had one demonic entity that was protecting him, because holy cow, so many attempts. Guys like Johann Georg Elser, a Christian carpenter, who tried in November of 1939 to blow up Adolf Hitler. Henning von Tresco, a Christian general who was involved in two failed attempts to kill Hitler with a bomb. Rudolf von Gerstorff, Christian who failed in an actual suicide bomb attempt to kill Hitler in 1943. Eberhard von Breitenbuch, Knight of the Order of St. John, pretty important guy, who attempted to assassinate Adolf Hitler at the Eagle's Nest in 1944. And of course, we've all heard of the Catholic Colonel Klaus von Stauffenberg, who on July 21st, 1944, tried to assassinate Adolf Hitler with a bomb inside of the Wolf's Lair and almost pulled it off. So that was the sentiment among Christians, Catholics in Germany at the time. Do almost anything to stop this guy. So if you're going to blame Christians for the Holocaust, Rabbi Rosen, don't forget to thank Christians for defeating those who were responsible for it, right? Those who were responsible for defeating the perpetrators of the Holocaust. It's just common sense, right? It's just natural justice. Why are we still talking about Christians from 2,000 years ago who are responsible and freaking out on Christians still? How, could this be any more counterproductive, right? So what am I saying? Bottom line, friends, we here in the underground and Catholics, the world, traditional Catholics the world over, we reject extremism on all sides, whether it's Muslim, Jewish, Christian, doesn't matter. Extremism has to go like that, blaming people, blaming entire races of people, right? Holding grudges, wanting revenge. That is not Christian. That's not traditional Catholic. But we do claim, as traditional Catholics, we claim the right to be just as exercised over hateful Christophobia as our Jewish brothers are exercised over hateful anti-Semitism. That's all we're asking. We want justice for all. And maybe, friends, maybe that justice starts with something really simple. Maybe both sides need to agree to stop playing the victim card. Finally, we can all stop being Karens. Oh, our suffering was much worse than yours. We hold a monopoly on being persecuted because they came after us specifically. It's your fault because 2,000 years ago, your people did this one thing, okay? Come on. That's got to stop. And it's time to stop using religion to push a political agenda. Religion's already got a bad enough rap in the modern world. It's time to stop using it to push a political agenda. It's going on all over the place right now. Just this week, in fact, there's a new report out, which incredibly claims that Christ is King is now the new N-word used by anti-Semites.
Since the advent of Christianity, Christ is King has been a cry for connection to the divine, a declaration of faith, a moving signal between Christians of their shared values. But what happens when it becomes a manipulation tactic designed to deceive Christians? Mentions of Christ as King have increased fivefold on platforms like X in just the past 4 years. At first glance, it would seem hopeful as people begin to reinvestigate faith in the face of increasing secularization and chaos in the world. But the NCRI, an organization at the forefront of monitoring deep trends in data, observed a striking and nefarious development around the phrase Christ is King beginning in 2021. In 2024, more than 50% of all engagements around Christ is King posts were driven by extremist influencers.
Now, the full report is called Thy Name in Vain, How Online Extremists Hijacked Christ is King, right? The ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, is involved, of course. And sadly, friends, it was funded by none other than Dr. Jordan Peterson, a guy who makes a whole heck of a lot of sense most of the time, doesn't he? I know he's confused about whether Jesus Christ was God and all of that, but on a lot of levels, the woke thing, he's very good. So it's sad. It's disheartening to even bring this up, but he funded this thing. And of course, this study in Thy Name targets people like Candace Owens, among others. Not surprisingly, Candace took to X after the release of this report, and she said she would never stop declaring Christ as King. God bless her. Good for her. But this prompted Jordan Peterson now, who works for the Daily Wire. It's so stupid. I don't even want to get into this, but this is the reality. Yeah, it's so in-house. It's embarrassing. It's cringy. You know, this prompted Jordan Peterson, who works for part of the Daily Wire team now, to respond to Candace Owens, calling her a, quote, true pharisaical pretender who proclaims her devotion to Christ for no other reason than to elevate her perceived status. Well, gee, Dr. Jordan, judge much? You've read her heart? You know she's a fraud? And actually, I kind of hope that Professor Peterson is right. You think about the ramifications of that. Faking devotion to Jesus Christ now elevates the status of the third most powerful podcaster in the world, Candace Owens. Oh, she's just trying to get a little bigger by pretending to love Jesus Christ and proclaim his kingship. Well, I sure hope that's true. I hope proclaiming the kingship of Jesus Christ will elevate me one day to the second most powerful podcaster in the world. Because I've been proclaiming the kingship of Jesus Christ all my life. Can't make it up. So what's it really all about? What's this latest kerfuffle over Christ is King? What's it really all about? Well, obviously, poor Jordan Peterson has got it in his head that he wants to hang with the cool guys over at Daily Wire. And they're all in on Israel. You can't break from that narrative, right? They're all in on the Gaza thing. They're all in on the genocide thing, defending it every single day. And Candace Owens now, on the other hand, well, she left Daily Wire just last year during Holy Week and over this exact same issue, Christ is King. And more importantly, she's an outspoken critic of Israel's war on Palestinian women and children. And that's where it gets a little bit frightening for everybody right now, because we're going into another big tech lockdown on free speech. And anyone with influence who criticizes Bibi Netanyahu's regime is going to be branded an anti-Semite, because that's all they have left. As I said, most of the country, what did I see? Almost 60% of Americans are opposed to this. Now, and the vast majority of the entire world is opposed to what's going on in Israel. So they're going to get nasty against those who are asking questions. They're going to get nasty against even conservatives who were big supporters of Donald Trump, still are, but certainly before the election were hugely important in his election. Guys like Tucker Carlson. It's interesting. Headline from the Daily Beast. The Daily Beast goes on to call Tucker Carlson a podcast piper of anti-Semitism for defending Palestinian women and children, and maybe more importantly, for questioning the Daily Wire.
If you're intentionally killing civilians, you probably shouldn't beat your chest and brag about it. You know, maybe you can make the
case. I agree with that.
Maybe you make the case that we had to do it or whatever, but you should.
I agree.
You should weep, and that's evil, and you should just say it's evil. And I know it's like really threatening to.
Is it evil?
Ben Shapiro to say that or whatever.
But is it evil?
To kill civilians on purpose? Yeah, it is. I think it is.
Very interesting. This is, of course, invited now some serious pushback from the Daily Wire. Let's put this up there on the screen. CEO Jeremy Boring. Anyone still blind to what Tucker is doing is willfully so. He isn't hiding it. When a man has worse things to say about Winston Churchill and Ben Shapiro, notice the Churchill and Ben Shapiro in the same
sentence. Those are equivalent figures.
They're very good. Then Vladimir Putin and Nazi apologists, he's making his position pretty clear.
I tend to stay out of this thing, these kind of things, these little spitting matches. But this is getting kind of weird. I mean, there's Jeremy Boring of the Daily Wire once again. What's with these guys? What are they doing? Who are they working for? I mean, is anyone safe from their ongoing witch hunt of anyone who asks any questions of what's going on in Israel right now? Apparently not. Jewish commentator Glenn Greenwald told Tucker Carlson that no, even if you're a Jew, as he is, you're still going to be branded as an anti-Semite if you question Bibi.
You cannot enter a discussion with an Israel defender without them immediately accusing you of being a racist if they disagree with you. Oh, you're an anti-Semite. Try and have an argument. Criticize Israel just a little bit and count down the number of seconds before you get accused of being motivated by bigotry and hatred. And these are the people who say, oh, I hate the tactic of accusing everyone you disagree with of being a racist. That's their only tactic, their go-to tactic. The minute you question, like, why is the U.S. financing Israel's military and its wars when it not only hurts our own country, but when millions of Israelis are having better standard of living than millions of Americans? sense. You're a Jew hater. You hate, you know, you have some kind of problem with Jews. So it's the same tactic there.
Do they say that to you?
Constantly. Yo, being Jewish is not in any way, does not give you any kind of immunity from that accusation. Like zero.
Tucker Carlson, people like that, like Candace Owens, the Remnant Underground, were not towing the line on Israel, which is why so-called conservatives such as Jordan Peterson are being plugged in to call us all the enemy. Jordan has taken it to new heights. He's calling us scribes, Pharisees, and whited tombs. Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed for him. This is pretty funny. Because since this whole thing about, you know, those who use words that are considered anti-Semitic, Jordan Peterson, he's using anti-Semitic language, words that are considered and condemned anti-Semitic in and of themselves already.
So the need to sensitize people to who were the Pharisees, all these things need to be properly understood in order to ensure that we don't fall victims to prejudices, stereotypes, and misrepresentation.
Rabbi David Rosen, Director of International Interreligious Affairs for the American Jewish Committee, notes how in the past popes have previously warned through church documents the misuse of terms and generalizations. During their three-day conference, Pope Francis met with them in the Vatican. In his prepared speech, he noted how the history of interpretation has fostered a negative image of the Pharisees, often without a concrete basis in the gospel accounts. He hopes this study will further deepen a greater understanding of who exactly the Pharisees were.
I don't know, Jordan, maybe this is just a little bit, you know, you need to stay in your lane a little bit. I know you're not even sure if Jesus is God, you're not sure what he is, a great philosopher, but quoting scripture can get you in trouble. Because here's Jordan Peterson's tweet. Woe to you Pharisees, he says. It's an anti-Semitic thing to say, Jordan. You just can't make it up. And again, it's almost too stupid to dignify with a point-by-point rebuttal. It's just so retarded. Who are these people who are using Christ as King in this way? Because I will say this. This study, again, the study is called Thy Name in Vain, talking about Christ the King, right? Using the Lord's name in vain. So you got Jordan Peterson, the Anti-Defamation League, the Daily Wire, all those folks are all exercised and worked up about offensive words such as Christ is King. Christ is King. Is this for real? Can you believe they're serious? Where is this happening? I'm gonna break for a second because I gotta work this out in my own mind. Are they serious? I mean, are there people really out there in the street shouting "Christ is King, man" as some sort of a threat in a street fight, in a brawl, in a rumble? Christ is King. Really? And conversely, are there Jews who are really so thin-skinned that they're going to get all butthurt by something so random? That would be like me going full-on Karen on somebody who shouts at me, "The thumb god is king, man!" I'd be like, "The thumb god is king." Okay, weirdo. Just call us when the shuttle lands. Right? I mean, who cares? So is this just a giant straw man? I mean, can we just move on, Karen? That's my aside, because the only actual thing that just jumped at me when I saw this Jordan Peterson ADL attack on people who are using this horrible obscenity, Christ is King. Again, the thing is called Thy Name in Vain, about the offensive words Christ is King. So I know what let's do. How about we challenge Jordan Peterson and his friends at the ADL to use their considerable influence to study the folks out in Hollywood who for 50 years have been making movies riddled with every kind of imaginable and unimaginable blasphemous use of Christ's name in vain, the name of Jesus Christ. Have you noticed this? It doesn't even get you an R rating on a movie. They use it on primetime TV, right? I got seven children. I'm the father of seven children. My wife and I stopped letting our kids watch the movies into our homes years ago. Do you know why? Because just about every single one of them, of the movies, regardless of the rating, it always features the, you know, the hero, the main character, using blasphemy, God blank this, Jesus blank blank this, for Christ's sake, you know, kind of like just normal, just part of the conversation. And then a combination of Thy Name in Vain paired with F-bombs or sexual perversion or dirty jokes, you know, this has been going on for decades in the movies, on TV, even, like I said, prime time. So tell me, Jordan, does anyone over at the Daily Wire care about Christians being offended by that? By the blasphemous sewage It's been pouring into our theaters and living rooms for half a century. Is anybody worked up about that? If not, why not? You say you're worried about words. You're worried about how offensive Christ is King is on the lips of Christians, right? Well, what about this? For Catholics, it is actually a big issue because for us, it is a mortally sinful violation of the second commandment to drag the name of Jesus Christ through the mud like that for kicks and grins and TV shows and movies, especially. And the great Jordan Peterson is ticked off at Candace Owens because someone somewhere might be offended by Christ the King. You have got to be kidding me. What's this really all about, Jordan? Whose side are you actually on? Because this is a straw man. This is a paper tiger. This is nonsense. And this is going on, by the way, while Christophobic blasphemy has been institutionalized in our society and all over the world. From the Paris Olympics opening ceremony, remember that, Jim? Jim mocking the Last Supper. We over and run the newspaper. We just did a report this week by our Australian correspondent, Catholic Club, talking about a Melbourne clinic which specializes in contraception. Guess what the name of it is? Oh, it's called the Ave Maria Clinic. Just this year, Sydney's taxpayer-funded gay and lesbian Mardi Gras included an Aboriginal dressed as a stripper murdering a sacrilegious son of God. And Jordan Peterson is funding a major study with the ADL to stop Candace Owens from saying Christ is King. This is what passes for conservatism today. Again, you've got to be kidding me. Friends, I'm out. You know what? We're always looking for some signs of hope from people who are coming along and moving in the right direction. But this is where they get channeled after we support them and say, way to go, man. You're starting to sound, you know, good. You're starting to get it right. And then they get channeled into this Christophobia. I'm out. I don't care anymore. I don't care to keep track of the fake and gay conservatism anymore. Blowing up the world, doing things like this ridiculous study, right? This is conservatism. We are now IVF. We're all in favor of IVF. We want abortion pills as conservatives. We're all into divorce and gay marriage. We're conservatives. Honestly, I can't even anymore. And so in a few months, and I'll close on this because it's good news. And I always try to end these shows with a bit of good news. In a few months, our RTV team is going to be heading over to France, where we are going to join 20,000 Catholics, mostly young people, on the road to Chartres in France, from Paris to Chartres. And guess what we're going to be doing there? We're going to be proclaiming that Christ is King. We're going to be proclaiming the social kingship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because you know what? That's what real conservatism is. That's what real conservatism is all about, conserving the faith of our fathers that built mighty Christendom around the throne of Christ the King. And I just can't tell you how providential it seems to me that it is, as we again go into Lent and the bashing on Christ again, Christ the King again, that the theme, this is the little instruction book for the pilgrimage this year, the theme for this year's pilgrimage is Pour qu'il règne sous la terre comme au ciel, that he may reign on earth as it is in heaven. That Christ the King may reign on earth. You see, friends, that's what matters, because he matters. That's all that matters, because he's all that matters. So for the 32nd time, I will proudly walk with those 20,000 clans from all over the world, as pilgrims all over the world, beneath the banner of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Our flag will have the Sacred Heart of Jesus on it. We will walk underneath the mantle of Our Lady, devoted to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and in solemn procession for 3 days, the proclamation of the social kingship of Jesus Christ will be made publicly. And if that offends you, or if that offends anyone over at the Daily Wire, well, frankly, Jordan, I don't give a damn.